If you have your Bible tonight, we're going to be turning to several passages. So the first one is James 5:16. If you want to go there with me, please. Tonight, I would like to speak to you on a subject that we have counseled so many times through the mission board, through missionaries that have issues. Just to give you some fact, one of the most destructive tools of the devil, the flesh and the world, is to break family apart. One out of three reasons, you take three reasons why missionary leave the field, one out of those three is because the family is broken. Something has happened, disconnect, a lie, cheat, whatever it is, something has happened, that family is broken. In my class, my graduating class, we were not a big college, we probably have maybe 15, 16 missionaries that went out that year. And out of all of those that are still in the ministry, I think it's five of us. One out of three, and many of them we have kept contact with throughout the years, and many of the reasons were just that, broken family. So tonight I would like to just touch a little bit, if you would, as I've used this outline and this counseling a little bit in counseling, I would just like to share that with you. Now, some of those things we're going to talk about tonight can be definitively applied in any family. It doesn't have to be a missionary family, okay? So, and I was corrected somewhat this morning in a good way, okay? But we are all missionaries, aren't we? We have all been called to serve. And so it's true that in some way, some of those applicable principles tonight to each family that is here tonight. The text tonight is found in James chapter 5, verse 16. And the verse says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Let me just give you the intro, then I'll start digging in a little bit. So many families are hurting from deep wounds in their personal relationship. The toughest job we have is to maintain proper relationship. And I mean just, we talk husband and wife, parents to children, children to parents, worker to the boss, you the boss to your worker. I mean, co-laborers in the work of the Lord, missionaries that arrive, then a new missionary family comes in, working together, working with nationals, cross culture, not easy enough. The privilege we have here in the States when we do our deputation, as I mentioned this morning, we do have quite a bit of a cross-cultural thing going on. You start your deputation way up near Canada, and then you make your way all the way to Florida, you probably will have several shocks, okay? Just so you know, okay? North, south, the middle, Maine versus Florida, just that alone, and I'm not going to touch more than that, okay? Because I've got friends on both sides, all right? But definitely some difference. Most wounds result from a communication breakdown or a misunderstanding. Most wounds are caused unintentionally. They're not purposefully done. We don't wake up in the morning and say, "I'm going to hurt my wife today." If you are, come and see me. I got a few words for you, okay? But usually we don't, right? And a wife doesn't get up and say, "You know what, today I'm going to get him." And I'm going, "Ooh." Granted, many of you ladies probably deserve that, and you know, we have roll pin in the closet for you, all right? This being said and done, we don't do it, it's done unintentionally. Most wounds are neglected and never healed correctly. How many of you are in the healthcare business? Either were a nurse or a nurse, right? I got one, two. Okay. If you don't treat a wound, what's going to happen with it? It's going to infect, it's going to grow, it's going to get deeper, it's going to go further, right? So we got to take care of it, right? Unresolved family conflict do not go away, they multiply. Now take that, and if you are called to be a missionary and then you end up on the field, everything that is a problem for you will be magnified on the field. Just guarantee, okay? It's the magnify effect of going away. You have no longer accountability, you have no longer those things, and you're finding yourself by yourself. So all of a sudden, everything multiply. Everything is magnified. So is there hope for healing for hurting family? Is there hope? Now I want to encourage you. I want to say, yes, of course there is. Okay? And we are, if my wife was here tonight, she would be the first one to stand up and say, yes, there is hope. You know, we've gone on the field. We've done all the mistakes. We've done the lonely, and we've done the backbiting and say things about each other that we should not have. And it took a while to correct, heal, and get over. And we are together, and we have our family together, and all of that. But it takes the work. So what must we do? What must we do? The first thing I'm going to recommend tonight is that we need to take a personal responsibility. In James 5:16, it says to confess our faults. Confess your fault. Let's take it just on a sense of a husband and wife tonight to keep it there, all right? It sounds like you have many couples, so let's just stay with that, okay? Husband and wife. Take personal responsibility. Husbands, if you have committed something, go see your wife and tell her your fault. You say, well, there is no, you got to do it. You have to. Ladies, if you have done something, go see your husband. Tell him. If something is going, tell him. Tell the truth, right? Take responsibility, personal responsibility for your fault. Not the other person. You know, it's easy for us. And that's one of the things I used to do when I was young, married, and whatnot. It's your fault that we're in this mess. It's your fault we don't have this. You know how easy it is to do that? That's the one thing that never works. Never works. Pointing the finger and blaming somebody else never works, right? It's easier to tell your spouse where they're wrong. But God says to tell them when you are wrong. It's easy to point the finger and say, it's your fault. And it's not so easy to come to them and say, I'm sorry. I started this. Take responsibility. Confess your fault one to another. Number two, what must we do in order to heal this conflict? Are you ready? Turn to the right source for the help you need. Psalm 46, verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Remind us that God is there to help. We're too quickly to turn to everything else and go to God last. Stop. Confess your fault. Ask God to help you. He is there for that. Recently, a young couple came and visited with us. I didn't know them. They were just visiting the mission. I was in the office, and I don't know why, if I'm a crazy for magnet or what, but sometimes I just wonder, you know? And they start open up right there in the office. I mean, we had doors open, and they just plop it on us. You know, it's like, hold on there. I didn't even have my Bible open yet. Give me a time. You know, no, it's just woof. And she was blaming him. He was blaming her. It was just one after the other. I was not the right source for them. I don't know them from Adam and Eve. Didn't know if they were saved, if they were attending church, they were just visiting. I don't even know if they just walk off the street for nothing. What is the right source? Well, definitely a pastor would be a right source, but a pastor that know you would be a better source, right? Before you go out the circle of that, turn to the right source. Too quickly, we turn to everything else but the godly source. So the Word of God is your first one. Prayer. Then you go to your pastor, pastor's wife for the ladies, right? And then we stretch beyond that under the council. If needs more, then we seek some, maybe a Christian ministry that would have the experience, would have the training, the proper help to assist. All right, I'll give you another one. What we must do in order to heal when all is falling apart, right? When the hurts have been done. Be honest at any cost. Be honest at any cost. John 8:32 say, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, right? Very important. The important part here is what? Truth. Honesty. You know, there is one thing I think couples have the hardest time to overcome is betrayal. You've done something that is heinous and bad, and yet you're trying to cover it, and now you're expecting your spouse to forgive you and go over that. That's the hardest thing to heal, betrayal, lack of trust. Be honest at any cost. How about this one? Seek forgiveness for whatever the offense may be. Here's one. I was wrong too. Please forgive me. These words are very humbling, but never forget, God gives his grace to the humble. James 4:6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Yes, it's going to be hard. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be tough. You may cry. You may weep. You may have to take it in, suck it up, and just handle it. But be honest and seek forgiveness. How many of you have the ease? It's you, and it's so much harder to come and say, I'm sorry. It's my fault. It's me. I did this. And come forward and just take care of it. The more you wait, the harder it's going to get. The more you wait, maybe multiply. If there's just a misunderstanding, now you got a whole sort of things that have grown to this monstrous thing, and now you got a whole lot more explaining to do. Take care of it right away. Don't wait. Don't delay. Be willing to forgive any offense. It's one thing when you're the one that causes the problem, you go out, you take care of it, and she has to forgive you. But what happened when she's the one that done the offense? She comes and asks for forgiveness, and you don't forgive. There's one that forgive us all and ask us to forgive others. Right? Ephesians 4:32 says we must be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. We who have been forgiven must be forgiving. Forgiveness does not depend on feeling. It is the response in obedience to God. God commands us to be forgiving, to forgive others. How many times do you really want to go there? Seven times what? That's a lot of time, right? Let's hope nobody offends us that much, right? That we do have to do it that many times. But it does send a message that we need to forgive. Here's one that is difficult. And again, what must we do in order to heal a situation in our families? Husband, wife, might be a child. Folks, they're very sensitive. Children are smarter than they look. They look adorable, yet they are smarter than the average bear. Mm-hmm. Just leave cookies on the table and see how quick they disappear. You have no idea how they went, right? Mm-hmm. They're smart. One of the things we want to deal with in relationship when there is a break in the relationship is to remove all possibility for bitterness. How many of us tonight could raise their hand, and I'm asking not to do that, but could raise their hand saying, I got bitter over this, I got bitter over that. We didn't take care of it, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew, and now I am angry every time we talk about it, every time we open that can of worm, quote unquote. It's not the worm that I take fishing, it's the worm that really makes me crazy. Remove all possibility. Hebrews 12:15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail at the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. If we don't take care of it, if we let that start, what's going to happen? It's going to grow. Somebody said when bitterness starts springing, you're the one that gets hurt, not the other people you're bitter about. They don't even know about you being bitter over whatever situation it was, right? Let me give you maybe four or five do not, okay, with bitterness. You ready? Do not rehearse the offense. Do not, in your mind, replay it again and again and again and again and again. It's a bad movie. Stop. Don't do it. All right? Continually reliving the offense gives place to a bitter spirit. Another one, do not nurse the wound. Having a continuing pity party encourages bitterness. Let's not do that. I give you another one. Do not curse the offender. Wishing them harm for what has happened will only allow the bitterness to live on in your spirit. Do not curse the offender. Deal with any bitterness of spirit as sin. Bitterness is merely a bad attitude. It is a sin and must be confessed and forsaken. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that answers his sin, covereth his sin, shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. There is no two way about it. It's one of those things you cut, throw, and that's it. You obey God's command, you forgive, you do not let fester. How do you cure that? I wish, and I do have somewhat of a short answer for that. Some steps, if you would, that helps us to cure this gangrene that's growing within. As an essential part of curing the problem of bitterness is the clearing of the conscience with the person to whom we may be embittered. I'll give you the reference, but for sake of time, I'm not going to read it tonight. Matthew 5:23-24. Matthew 5:23-24. And the idea here is to clear the air. You know how many times just by going to that person, biblically speaking, and confronting the issue, say, hey, I heard you said about me. No, we were talking about so-and-so. Well, that's gossip then. Don't do it. You know? But you would be surprised how many times the air and the attitude and everything would be clear if we did it biblically. You go to the person that offended you. You don't wait until they come to you and apologize because they offended you. You go straight to them and deal with it. Take care of it. Biblically speaking, you're the one that has the accountability, the responsibility, the duty to go to them and take care of it. The following are four steps that must be taken that will help in this very delicate responsibility. Number one, before you do anything, why don't you start by listing the offense of the one against whom you have become embittered. What did they do to you? What was the offense that you believe has taken place? I'll give you some example. For example, possible offense, okay? Failure to fulfill a promise. Well, you said you were going to come and pick me up. You never showed up. Okay. I'm sorry. I forgot. I'm sorry. But you said you had a car and you were going to meet me. Clear the air, right? Unfair treatment. In the counseling with one of our missionaries, that was his complaint. He felt like he was not getting his share. He was unfairly treated. They dealt with that. They compromised and decided on what would be the expectation for him and the expectation for her and the expectation for them. And that took care of the problem. Setting a wrong example. Yeah, you say to the kids, you can't watch television, but you go in your room and you watch television all night. That's definitely something that can happen, right? Being disloyal to me as a friend. Remember, if she tells you a secret, that remains a secret. If you tell her a secret, that remains a secret. That's in between the two of you. That should not go anywhere else, right? Unjustified criticism. You set the bar too high. I can never be good enough. Bitterness coming, right? So list the offense of the one against whom you have become embittered. List your own fault, number two. List your own fault. How did you possibly offend or hurt the person who responded harmfully to you? Did you cause the problem in the first place? This is your opportunity to examine your own heart before the Lord. This is a time where you do an introspection and you look at, is it me that created this? Am I the one that started this thing? Am I the reason why this person said this or went and didn't do that or so on and so forth? Exhibiting a bad attitude toward the person, showing an ungrateful spirit, not being grateful about something. They did something for you and you never say thank you. That's a tough one. Well, I went out of my way to pick them up and they never even say thank you. You'd be amazed our little thank you at the end of a meeting can go a long way, right? Being untruthful with that person, harboring bitterness in your own heart, an unyielding and stubborn attitude, and on it goes. We could come up with so many others. Number three, again, we're trying to cure bitterness. Number three, determine to seek forgiveness. Again, you're the one who's offended. You're the one that get bitter. And this is your responsibility to go to them and sit down with them and say, hey, I felt offended. You did. But I'm here to just ask you to forgive me. I got bitter over this. I get angry over this. Seek forgiveness. This is by far the most difficult, isn't it? You go and sit down with somebody you dislike. You have an aversion. You have something that really is, every time I see them, I'm like, oh, my blood is boiling. I don't want to sit down with them. I want to slap them. It's not an easy thing, is it? Again, in our text, James 5:16 clearly set the example for us to seek the forgiveness. Major problem is learning to distinguish between a surface offense and a root cause. Get to the heart of the issue. Get to the heart of the issue. Guaranteed not to work. I was wrong, but so were you. That really squelched the hope of even fixing anything, okay? It's just going to kill it. So don't do that, okay? Guarantee not to work. All right, number four, and that's the last one, in order to cure or to help in this healing process where we are now looking to get this help from the Lord in working in those things. Fully forgive the offender. Fully forgive the offender. How do you know if you have fully forgive somebody? Say that again. Forget about it. That's a good one. You know that God forgives our sin and forgets about them? This is why we don't recommend to come back and back and back and back to ask forgiveness for the same sin, unless you're repeating the same sin, okay? But that's not the point. But why? Because God forgives it. And what he has put out of his mind, that's it. It's been forgiven. It's moved on. And he's asking us to do the same thing. Forgive fully and forget. How do you know that you have fully forgot and forgive? Next time you see that person, your blood is not boiling and you're not punching them. I mean, I'm just kidding, all right? Ephesians 4:32, so, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The key is genuine humility, really. It's not just, hey, my pride, I was right, you were wrong, and I'm going to make sure you know it. Because that ain't going to heal nothing, and you are going to continue to be bitter. It's not going to heal anything, right? Pride is the enemy of grace, but humility places us in a position where God can supply the grace necessary to forgive. So we have seen some interesting things tonight, I believe, when it comes to relationship. Healing within the family, what must we do? Number one, we said, take personal responsibility. Number two, turn to the right source. God is your primary source, and any godly counsel would be the second, all right? Be honest at any cost. Seek forgiveness. Be willing to forgive. Remove all possibility for bitterness. We said, do not rehearse, do not nurse, do not curse. Deal with any bitterness as a sin, and pray for the offender. Let me close with that one for the cure of bitterness. Pray for the offender. You know, it's hard to go and have a little brawl with somebody you're praying for daily. You know, and you're bringing them before the Lord, and you're asking God to bless them, and you're asking God to help them, and you're asking God to work in their heart and in their family and in their circumstances. Pray for the offender. All right, number seven, be willing to wait on God. Be willing to wait on God. And I'm going to read this. Time alone does not heal, but healing takes time. Go and take care of it. Don't expect maybe that they would forgive you right off the bat. Maybe not you being able to forgive immediately, but if you don't take care of it, I don't care how much time goes under the bridge, it's only going to get worse. And lastly, number 8, move on to greater things for God's glory. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 to 14 is a good reminder of the value of forgetting those things which are behind. That's behind. Let's put it behind us. Right? So we can move ahead once again. Now, nothing is harder to rebuild than a broken relationship. You know, we can fix an engine, we can, you know, restore a bodywork on a car, we can do all kinds of things, but a relationship is a very sensitive, very delicate thing, and so when it's broken, it's very hard to mend. It may take years to build the relationship, and second, to destroy it. You know how often it is to remember that friend or that wife or that husband or that kid, they have done 99 things right, but one wrong. And oh God, help us, we remember that one thing that went wrong and completely forgot the 99 that did go right. We are that kind of people, right? Nothing is harder to heal than a wounded relationship. It is extremely hard, and it may take weeks, months, years. But it's worth it. It is worth it. Now, I believe God has some humor, and I hate to see a brother hating another brother and God putting their mention next to yours. So fix it here. Don't wait until we get there, all right? Fix it down here. If there's any kind of issue between a wife and a husband, between a brother and another brother, a sister to another sister, let's take care of those relationships down here. If there's any kind of congested, kind of full, kind of bitterness starting, let's take care of it. Don't delay. Don't wait. But thank God it can't and it must be done. Thank God it can and it must be done. Maybe there's kids here tonight, small, young, or teens that have, you know, things that are harboring in their heart. Maybe it's a parent that's harboring some issues with a child tonight. Maybe it's a wife with a spouse. Maybe it's a husband with his wife. Maybe it's just a brother with another brother, a sister with another sister. Maybe you hate me. I don't know. I'm going to leave you with just one phrase. God is able if we are willing. Are you willing to heal a broken relationship? Those are just some tools to help you to do just that. Let's pray. Father, we come before you tonight realizing that relationships are established by you, Father. You have created the woman for the man. You have asked them to go and multiply. You give them children. You put them in the garden and asked them to tend it. And once they were out of the garden, you created the work. Work is important, but we work with other people. When our Savior came, he asked the prayers that we would not be taken out of the world, but that in the world, we would be the salt and the light. And I pray, Father, as we do just that, as we fall and fail in relationship, that you would help us, Father, to do what is right in order to heal those relationships. And I pray, Father, as we do it biblically, as we follow the pattern that you've given us in your word, those relationships would be mended. Those relationships would be restored. And that nothing in the heart would be impeaching or slowing us or just taking us out of a relationship with you. So I pray, Father, if there is sin tonight in our heart, in my heart, I pray, Father, you would point it out. If somebody has offended me, if somebody has hurt me, if somebody has simply caused me to stumble, I pray, Father, that you point that out in my heart, point that out in my mind, that I may correct it and go to that person and take care of it. Pray, Father, you bless tonight as we are about to conclude this service. I pray, Father, you touch hearts and help us to be honest with each other and clean and clear. And you will be done. Again, we ask in Jesus' name, amen.